The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Adrian Healy, a trainload of transfer tittle-tattle to get to today, as always on FC, and a tremendous panel to bring you as well. Look who we've got waiting in the wings. Stevie Nicol is back from his vacation, his long vacation, finally over. Julien Laurent is with us, and on the show for just the second time, our Dutch journalist friend Milan van Dongen is with us. Milan, welcome back. Ali Moreno will be joining us shortly as well to talk a little Lionel Messi. But Milan, I have to start with you. The big news coming out of Holland and Amsterdam. It looks like Donny van der Beek will be patrolling that Manchester United midfield next season. First of all, Milan, from your perspective, this transfer seemed to happen very quickly, very quietly, very cleanly. Yeah, almost a surprise. Is that the way you saw it?
Yeah. Good night. Happy to be in your show for the second time. First of all, yeah, it went very flawless, very quick, very clean, as you said. Like 3-4 days ago, last Tuesday, he played a friendly here in Amsterdam with Ajax. Nothing was really happening with Van der Beek. He was always playing in the second squad of Ajax because the coach Ten Hag thought, okay, he's going to leave this summer. I'm planning on other players to play on the number 10 or the number 8 position. But there was nothing really happening with Donny van der Beek till last Saturday, when suddenly he wasn't in the squad for the last friendly of Ajax before the international break. And then and then the coach said, Ten Hag, there's something happening with him. But it lasted like one and a half day till Dutch media international media ended up with the club for Donny van der Beek. And it turned out to be Manchester United. And it's a really flawless, easy, quick and clean transfer, can we say. He's having his medical on Monday night, as we speak now, in Amsterdam. And he's ready to go to Manchester United.
Mm. How do you see him fitting into that Manchester United midfield at Milan, given the fact they already have one Bruno Fernandes and one Paul Pogba in that midfield?
Yeah, and when the last period, when Man United were quite successful, you had Matic, Fernandes and Pogba. With Fernandes like being the creative number 10, Pogba, we all know Pogba is a really, really good midfielder. To be honest, I don't see him fitting in that midfield. If you have Matic, if you have Pogba and Fernandes, and Solskjaer wants to play with a three-player midfield, it will be very, very hard for Donny van der Beek to fit in that midfield. Or Solskjaer has to play very attacking midfield with Pogba and van der Beek behind Fernandes, or Pogba and Fernandes behind van der Beek. But I see many difficulties for van der Beek, but let's give him the chance. Maybe he will evolve into a very, very successful Man United player. And if you get either Pogba or Matic or Fernandes out of the starting 11, you are a very successful Man United player.
Stevie, Manchester United fans will be saying, see what happens when Steve Nicol goes away on vacation? We make a great signing. How do you see him fitting in to the fold for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
It's a tough one. I kind of agree with Milan. You know, Fernandes is clearly the guy who's going to roam, which means the other two, if indeed it's three in the middle, have to sort of set. I would suggest that Van Beek is better having some sort of license to get forward and get in the box, which may mean that maybe he starts on the right hand side of a front three, maybe puts pressure on Greenwood. Greenwood is still a kid. Yes, he's shown some signs of brilliance, but he's still a kid. So if he's playing, I see him right now as wide in that front three on the right hand side.
Mm. Jules, your assessment?
I agree with the boys. I think it's hard to see him start in the team if Pogba and Fernandes are fully fit. I agree you need Matic there. Maybe in certain games, especially at Old Trafford, when you know you're going to have 70% of the ball, for example, you could play with Van der Beek and Pogba in front of the back four and then Fernandes above them. And then because you know you'll have so much of the ball, you'll have maybe less defending to do or something like that. But other than that, he would certainly start as an impact player coming off the bench unless, like Stevie said, you play him out of position and on the right. But again, you can't expect too much from him if you're playing in a position that is not his, especially with the way United have been playing in that formation before. But we've said enough, I think, at the end of the season when they ran out of steam in the Europa League, for example. That the problem as well for this Man United team was the lack of depth in their squad. Well, you bring someone like Van de Beek in your squad and he looks far stronger as a squad, then you can always pick who you think is better, who has the best fitness, who is better suited to play against who, etc., etc. But at least you've got more options on your bench than you had, for example, at the end of last season when he wasn't there.
Milan, how excited are they in general in Holland, given the level of surprise perhaps attached to this move?
Yeah, we're quite excited because we have Frankie de Jong at Barcelona, we have Matthijs de Ligt at Juventus, Hakim Ziyech is a Dutch guy, he plays for Morocco, but he's a Dutch guy, he's playing for Chelsea now. So we are excited that another Dutch player goes into one of the biggest leagues in the world and one of the biggest clubs in the world. And we find it quite exciting that he goes to a different club. So we have some players at all clubs. But till a few months ago, he was going to Real Madrid. There was already a contract, but the coronavirus made that difficult. And Barcelona was kind of interested as well. But actually, my feeling is that people are quite excited that he goes to Manchester United, who were playing very attractive the last couple of months. So that makes people exciting to see Van de Beek in Manchester.
Mm. Well, Manchester United may be far from done in terms of transfers this summer. Mark Ogden writing on the website about Dayo Upamecano, I should say. Easy for me to say. But are Manchester United still very much in for him, Jules? Given that they could have had him, couldn't they, for 60 million this year? He signed a new contract. Now they may have to wait to exercise that release clause.
Oh yeah, they would have to wait for sure another year at least if they want him on a cheaper, at least cheaper than what they would have to pay this summer. Everybody could have had him last summer, and Arsenal were certainly the team that came the closest of signing him. I think the 60 million euro release clause was just a bit too much for them at that time, which was a shame, because since last summer, I think Upamecano, who by the way right now is with the French national team for the first time in his career at 21, he's gone to the next level really, and I think he's an incredible centre back now. I think he's cut off a lot of the mistakes that we've seen him done before when he was a bit younger, and it would be a great signing for Manchester United or for any other club who are looking right now for a centre-back of his quality. And I think he's certainly one that would be the best very, very soon in the world. And I think if you can get him now, even if that costs you around between 60 and 80 million, he's only 21, as we've been saying. And I think there's many, many years to come for him at the top, top, top level. So go for him. The issue I have then, if Jadon Sancho is your priority, has always been your priority, how the signing of Van de Beek and Upamecano potentially, how does that impact the possible recruitment of Jadon Sancho for United?
Stevie, I might not be able to pronounce him. I know you have always been a big fan of him, though. What sort of asset would he be for United?
Why are Manchester United waiting? I mean, seriously. You know, Man United look as though they want to be back where we think they should be. But in the transfer window, I mean, if they're talking about going after Jadon Sancho, for example, for 100 million, why are you not going to say, OK, I'll tell you what, I'm not quite sure about this, let's go for 70 million and buy a centre-back who absolutely 100% is going to be your leader at the back. He's going to be probably one of your better players. He's going to be the captain eventually. And he's going to be Mr. Man United. This guy, 100%, is the next greatest thing. At 21 years of age, he already is shown that as far as playing centre-back, he's as good as anybody else out there. Maybe only Van Dijk is better. Because this kid can play. This kid loves a challenge. This kid makes great decisions. You know, he's not a big centre-back who goes around bullying people. He actually, when he needs to, uses his physicality. But he outthinks them. His starting positions are great. I mean, I really don't have an awful lot of bad things to say, if any, about this guy. He showed us recently, particularly in the quarterfinals against Atletico Madrid, I thought he was absolutely the driving force behind Leipzig. Not losing the game. Okay, he doesn't score goals, but he for me, was their main man. So I don't understand this. You know, let's talk about Koulibaly. He's 29 years old, and nobody seems to have a problem with the asking price of 70 or 80 million. Are you having a laugh? You've got a 21-year-old here who's going to be your rock for a decade at least.
Yeah.
I tell you, if I'm Manchester, I wish Liverpool would go and get him. I know they won't, but I don't know why Man United are hanging about. Just get it done.
Another superb segue from Stevie. We've missed you. You talked about Koulibaly. Jules, reports surfacing both in Italy and France that Manchester City's interest is intensifying. Given they've just spent money on Nathan Ake, how real is this, do you think?
Oh, it's really real. It's really real. And I think unlike Ake, who is a left-footed centre-back, which I think will be the number two on that side behind Laporte, Koulibaly will come in and start. He will play. He will be one of the leaders in that team. And I think the problem was never really so much between City and Koulibaly. I think you would expect that to be sorted out pretty quickly. Fally Ramadani, his agent, has really good contact and knows very well Manchester City. So that was never going to be an issue. The issue was and remains and will be until they find an agreement between the two clubs, because we know De Laurentiis and Napoli, we know how hard it is to make a deal with him, especially when it comes to one of his top players. He's already said, pretty much, show me the money for Koulibaly. Show me the money. You know, people can talk. Show me the money now. Come in with a proper offer. And we know that he's very, very greedy when it comes to Koulibaly and how much he wants for him. So Koulibaly and City, I even thought it was done before between them. However, City and Napoli, I think this will go on a bit longer, because it would be very hard for City and Napoli to find some sort of agreement that makes everybody happy.
Yeah. From centre-backs to goalkeepers, Jules, I'll stay with you on this. Petr Cech, ex-Chelsea man, of course, talking about the current Chelsea goalkeeper, Kepa, saying he struggled last season. That is unquestionable. But the club invested in him and gave him a long-term contract because they believe he has the qualities and attributes to be successful. Additions will be made to the squad, perhaps even in goal, and this is what is being discussed now. But nobody is giving up on Kepa, and we all hope he has a great future. What's your take on it? Is there a way back for Kepa this season at Chelsea, Jules?
I think what Petr Cech forgot to say at the end was, but if there's a great offer coming in, we'll let him go, no problem. Just please send them over and I'll look at them, because Petr Cech was not going to say anything different, really. You know, if Kepa stays, because they can't sell him, because they want to sell him, but if they can't sell him, you would not have one to send negative stuff about him if he stays in your squad for another season. So Petr Cech, being as clever as we know he is and very diplomatic as well, came up with those quotes. And again, it's the right thing to do. But I can guarantee you, if a good offer comes, he will go. They will sell him and they will invest in another good goalkeeper who think would be better than him, whether that's Edouard Mendy, the Senegalese goalkeeper in Reims, in France, in Dijon, sorry. Whether it's him and you give him a bit of time to come to the top, or you go straight into a Jan Oblak, for example, and spend a lot of money on him, but at least you know exactly what you're getting, then Lampard and Cech will have to decide. But make no mistake that Kepa is on the market right now, and if a good offer comes, they will sell him, and Chelsea are looking for good offers for him. But if he was to stay, then I think Cech was very intelligent and clever in the way he said, of course we're not going to give up on him, he will be in our squad, and I guess they will need him if they can't sell him and can't replace him either.
Milan, Chelsea have been linked for quite some time, haven't they, with Ajax's Cameroonian goalkeeper, Andre Onana. Is that link very much still active and alive?
Yeah, that's active and alive, although it's very quiet around Andre Onana right now. You don't hear any rumours, you don't hear any contact that he has with clubs now. But it's really active because he made an agreement last summer. He renewed his contract at Ajax, but made an agreement with the club. If a good international big club comes to Amsterdam and wants to pay a certain amount of money, then I'm allowed to leave. Ajax made an agreement with Van de Beek, with Frenkie de Jong, with Matthijs de Ligt, and they always stood up to their word. So if Chelsea comes to Amsterdam with an offer for Onana, they won't do. They won't refuse it. There won't be any obstacles on the road. I would go personally for Andre Onana. He's a really good goalkeeper. He's really good on the line. They call him in Amsterdam, they call him the cat from Cameroon. But he's also really good on the ball, with the ball, and in the type of play that Lampard wants to play. He would be a very good goalkeeper, suitable for Chelsea. And to be honest, I expect him to leave at the end of this transfer period.
Interesting. Jules, by the way, you were right the first time. Edouard Mendy plays in goal for Rennes. And it's not like you watch French football or anything, is it?
Sorry, I got my head completely confused. Sorry.
Well, I want to go back to you on Chelsea. Peter Bosz, Bayer Leverkusen head coach, basically saying, I no longer expect Kai Havertz or Kevin Volland to train again with us. Havertz looks like he's on his way to Chelsea, joining, of course, the likes of Ben Chilwell and Werner. And also Hakim Ziyech, new player for Chelsea fans to watch this season. What sort of player are they going to be watching?
A great player, a magician. That was his nickname in Amsterdam at Ajax. He came in like a player from Twente, which is they used to be champion in 2010, but rank number five, rank number six in Holland. And they came in. People didn't expect really for him to be there from the beginning, but he was there from the beginning. He was very, very good, very worthful for Ajax, especially in the famous year in the Champions League when they almost reached the final. You know, they probably know that, but the Tottenham game at in Amsterdam. But he was he wasn't popular in the beginning because how he appeared to the world was a bit not really happy. But he overwon that skepticism, and in the 2018-2019 season, when Ajax reached the semi-final of the Champions League, he was like the most important player. Really creative, really attacking, always looking for opportunities, always finding opportunities. And yeah, I almost am sure that he's going to be a big success at Chelsea.
Mm. Finally, for you today, Milan, a man who's certainly very happy, one Ronald Koeman, who is now sitting there as manager of Barcelona. It left the Dutch national team, of course. What's been the reaction to this appointment in Holland? He always did really well, didn't he, as a manager in Holland, perhaps not so well outside of the Netherlands.
Do you think he's still happy?
Well, he had a big smile on his face.
No, he's probably still happy, but some people in Holland are already joking. Let's wait a few more weeks, and then Ronald Koeman can go back to Holland and be a coach of the national squad again, because he's facing a lot of difficulties, of course, in Barcelona at the moment with the situation around Bartomeu and the situation around Lionel Messi. Our first reaction was quite surprising, actually, because he already refused Barcelona twice. Half a year ago and a year ago, because he wanted to finish his job with the Dutch national team at the Euro. But yeah, we can doubt if there's a Euro next year because of the facts and with the pandemic. Everything is in doubt. So saying no to Barcelona for the third time in a row, he couldn't do that. So we were surprised because he said yes against Barcelona, but we weren't surprised at the same time because he has always said Barcelona is his dream club. He wants to work at Barcelona as a coach once in his life. And this was the opportunity. So the reactions were actually quite positive all around the Netherlands. All the players in the Dutch national team wished him luck, thanked him for his work the past 2 years. And he really built something in the Netherlands. And everybody wished him luck today. Virgil van Dijk said once again, I was disappointed because he left the Dutch national team, but I wasn't angry. I completely understood his decision. Working outside the Netherlands, he's been very successful at Ajax, at Feyenoord, at the Dutch national team. But he wasn't really successful at Valencia, not at all, actually. Southampton was okay, but Everton wasn't okay. So, we're really curious how he's going to do in this project without Messi, Project Barcelona, the renewal of Barcelona. It's going to be a hard job.
Indeed, it will. Great stuff, Milan. Appearance number two is in the books for you, Milan.
Yes.
Van Dongen, our man on the scene in Amsterdam. Join us for tomorrow's edition of the show. Remember, 7 days a week, ESPN FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, if you watched the show yesterday, you heard Gabriel Marcotti promising some latest reporting on Lionel Messi. You can read what he's written on our website, ESPNFC.com. High time we welcomed in Ali Moreno to the show. There he is, alongside Stevie and Jules. Jules, I want to start with you on Barcelona. Lionel Messi reportedly not turning up for pre-season training. Is this it? Are we going to see picket lines? Is he downing tools? Is he officially on strike?
Well, it looks like it. Certainly, Adrian, the fact that not just today didn't turn up for the first day of pre-season training, but also yesterday didn't turn up for the test for the COVID-19 that all the players had to go through, I think showed pretty clearly that he's not going to come back. So unless there's an agreement found somewhere between Barcelona and another club, it seems that Leo Messi right now clearly has made his mind up, which we knew before, but we just wanted to see if he would go to the clash and go to the battle with the club saying like, I've told you, I've had enough, I'm not going to come back. Don't keep hoping for me to come back. That's not going to happen. And I guess we saw between Sunday and Monday today that he was definitely not coming back. So I guess Barcelona will have to start now moving their pieces on that chess game. What do they do? Do you start giving up and negotiating with clubs and seeing what you can do? Or do you keep it strong and play strong, saying you're on the contract, you have to come back, and maybe every day he's not there, he will have a fine or something. But it's a very tricky situation, and really, no puns intended, but it's a really messy situation.
Stevie, you see what happens when you go away on vacation, exotic climbs and all that? Look what happens. Can you believe it? I know you haven't had a chance to weigh in on it yet. Can you really believe we're going to see Lionel Messi leaving Barcelona?
Well, I can now, and that's only because of the... I mean, it's really a bit of skullduggery. You know, the fact that he had that clause in his contract and the fact that they've now kind of stabbed him in the back saying, well, it was gone. With all the pandemic and him playing when the restart and playing through the Champions League, then he absolutely feels as though he's been stabbed in the back. So there is absolutely zero chance that Lionel Messi goes back to Barcelona. And people are talking about, well, if the president goes and Koeman goes, well, that ain't happening anytime soon. So, Lionel Messi, in my opinion, actually, is doing the right thing.
Ali, do you think Barcelona stabbed Messi in the back here?
I wouldn't frame it that way, but I see where Stevie's coming from. I think what Lionel Messi has done is provide all sorts of opportunities and all sorts of ultimatums, if you will. Signs, signals, hey, guys, we got to get this right. We got to get this correct. We got to start making decisions that make this club successful in the now and in the near future. And he didn't see any of that over the last couple of seasons, over the last few years. And so then they get to the point in which you get humiliated by Bayern Munich 8-2. And I think that was it. It was the moment in which he just said, this is going nowhere. And I don't want to be a part of this any longer. And in doing that, he started the process of saying, let's look at my contract. Let's look at the legal minutiae, the fine print, and see how do we find a way out. And I think there is a loophole there. It's been reported that there is an argument to be made that the season ended when he played his last match against Bayern Munich in Champions League, and therefore he didn't need to send his bureau fax up until that point. If indeed they can prove that, and if that's something that they can hang on to, then it's a unilateral move by Lionel Messi, as spelled out in the contract, in that clause, in saying, I'm out. Having assumed that this all gets resolved legally, there is a way out for Lionel Messi and a clear path to go out of Barcelona. I don't think it's so much as Barcelona stabbing Lionel Messi in the back as much as it is Barcelona didn't do the things like Lionel Messi has been talking about for the last few years. They did not take him seriously. They did not take seriously the threat of him leaving. They never believed that this was possible. Like, none of us actually believed that this was possible. Barcelona took that chance, and now Messi's saying, you didn't believe me. I was serious then, and I'm serious now. I'm out.
Well, of course, it's not just Lionel Messi in the spotlight. Barcelona and Ronald Koeman have been very public, haven't they, that many other players are no longer in their plans and are free to leave. Already seen Ivan Rakitic close to linking up again with Sevilla. Arturo Vidal, another of his agents, apparently trying to negotiate a free move away from Barcelona. I want to get your thoughts, Ali, on the comments from Arturo Vidal, which were very interesting, weren't they? He said Barcelona have to change their way of thinking. Football has evolved a lot. The Barcelona DNA is being left behind. Football is now more physical. It's about more strength and speed and technique. Sometimes becomes less important. That ends up costing you when you're weak mentally and in terms of energy. That's what happened. Ali, what do you make of it?
Arturo Vidal has a point here. And I think there is some value to what he's saying and some significance to what he's saying in terms of Barcelona adjusting their playing style to the current way of playing the game. Now, you have a DNA as a club, and that's a culture within the club that this is how you're going to play. But there are certain adjustments that needed to take place within Barcelona that would have been useful to this group. However, I cannot take these comments at face value, because what Arturo Vidal is essentially saying is, you need more guys like me. Like me, my kind of style, the way I play the game. What I would say to Arturo Vidal is, they need more guys like you used to be. The guy with the energy that would cover the ground, that would be physical, that would get from place to place and would dictate the rhythm with which the game was played through the midfield, through your physicality and through your energy. That's no longer the player you are. And so it is very convenient for him to say, you need more players like me and you need to change the mentality to the player that I once was. And that is the key for me. It's the player you were, Arturo, it's not the player you are right now. That's not the player you are. In fact, I would say that some of the struggles of Barcelona, there is no better example than Arturo Vidal, that he became an important part at this point in his career, an important part and critical part to the success of Barcelona this season, tells you a lot of things that are going wrong with this club.
Stevie, does Vidal have a point? Barcelona have been weak mentally and in terms of energy?
100%. I think all you have to do is look at Liverpool. You know, Premier League champions, champions of Europe last year. And why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they have got the balance between ability and energy and legs. You know, you look at the midfield three of Liverpool, it's all about energy. It's all about running around. It's all about physicality. You know, we've been arguing on this show about, you know, will Thiago Alcantara fit in at Liverpool, because he's too much of a footballer. So I think Vidal is absolutely spot on. You have to get the balance right between ability and just sheer physicality and pace to get around. And as I said, the great example is Liverpool. You've got a front three full of ability. You've got a middle three absolutely full of legs, energy, closing down, you know, all the dirty stuff in the game. And that team, well, they were champions of Europe, but they're now Premier League champions. So I think Vidal's absolutely spot on.
It's interesting, though, Jules, isn't it? Because it used to be part of Barcelona's DNA. You look back at that team in 2011, they chased and harried, they ran. I remember Thierry Henry saying he'd never run as much as when he was part of that Barcelona team.
Yes, but they've stopped counter-pressing and pressing for stop a long time ago. That's the problem. And we've mentioned a lot on the show all the errors they make in terms of recruitment, managers and players. And I think there's a point where if you keep getting the wrong players, you're falling far behind all the other teams, as Stevie said, the likes of Liverpool or Bayern Munich, even Real Madrid at some point in a different style, but they knew how to evolve and how to sort of renew themselves, if you want. And Barcelona never did that. And I think maybe part of it is because of Leo Messi in a way. And you say, like, well, we've got the best ever, so let's just give him the ball, pretty much. And for a long time, he looked like that was the plan. The plan was not to run or not to press or not to counter-press, not even to play the sort of tiki-taka, just to call it like that, it was give the ball to Messi and he would work something out. He would be great again. And I think when you do that, you fall behind, and you fall behind, far, far behind everybody else. And Vidal is right, but like Ali said, he's also part of the problem. And I don't think you can win again with that kind of mentality.
All right, good stuff, guys. More from this golden triangle. Ali, Jules and Steve will be answering your questions on Extra Time. Check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Announced today, Serie A's return will be the weekend of September 19th and 20th, the opening fixtures for the 2021 season, and those games will be announced on Wednesday. Don't forget all your Serie A action available once again this forthcoming season right here on ESPN+. That does it for today. My thanks to our special guests from Holland, Milan, Van Dongen, also Stevie, Ali and Jules. They are not done, though. They are sticking around to answer your questions next. That's Extra Time. And away we go, hot off the press. Your questions. Thanks very much for your tweets here on Extra Time. Adrian Healy in the company of Steve Nicol. You can hear him. You'll see him. There he is. Ali Moreno and Julien Laurent as well. Stevie, welcome back, by the way, after your exotic vacation. A couple of questions for you right off the bat from Scott, first of all. Are you worried at all about Liverpool's recent form, or do you think they will kick it into gear when the season actually starts?
I would be lying if I told you I'm not worried about anything. I'm worried about that back line. You know, they've gone from just being impregnable to just looking a little suspect. And I know you can say, well, you know what? The truth is, they had already won the league and they shut it down. But it's not so easy to get that sort of, you know, that group, that back five, basically, your back four and the goalkeeper. It's very difficult to get in that sort of groove where every time you step on the field, you just know that everybody's going to do the job, be in the right position. The opposition ain't going to score. That thing's disappeared just because of the circumstances. So the only little worry I have is how quickly are they going to get that back line back to just being impregnable again?
Well, with apologies to Ali and Jules, Stevie's return has prompted lots of people worrying about Stevie worrying, because the next question is the same. Stevie, are you worried that Mane and Salah have no competition and are too comfortable? They could have an average game and not get taken off.
No, I don't think so. Over the last two or three seasons, they've shown that regardless of who sat on the bench, they've been at it 100%. Listen, you can ask whether Salah at times is a little careless, but you know what? You can't take your eyes off him, and he's liable to do something incredible at any second. So him and Mane in particular haven't dropped the ball, and I don't see any reason how or why they should drop the ball in the up and coming season.
Mm. All right, Ali, one for you from King KDB, no less. With Messi in the Manchester City team, hypothetically, how would Kevin De Bruyne's role change? And what would Foden slash Silva do? Will we see Messi, KDB and Silva or Foden, a tiki-taka trio, is the question.
David Silva, we're talking about?
No, I would think Bernardo, but I can only assume.
Because I was going to tell you that the role for David Silva has diminished dramatically.
Yes.
Look, I think Foden is going to be very comfortable on the bench. That's without a doubt. And that's a shame because I think he had shown a lot of positive signs in this season in which he was going to take his game to an entirely different level. But if the bar is going to break, it's going to break there at Phil Foden. Bernardo Silva wasn't nearly as good this year and as productive as he was last season. He needs something else to happen in order for him to truly kind of become the guy that they thought he was going to become last year. And so therefore, I just think Kevin De Bruyne's role, will it change? No, I don't believe so. He's actually going to get even more opportunities to get forward because as Lionel Messi, as we have seen over the last couple of seasons, especially this year, he has dropped off into more of a playmaker sort of role. So then De Bruyne and his passing only add value to that. But he then can also make runs off of whoever is playing that center forward position. And maybe he can be more of a presence in the attacking 18-yard box as well because he doesn't have to do all the passing. Lionel Messi can do the passing as well. As for Silva and Foden, I think it's a different conversation for the two of them. Foden will be on the bench. Bernardo Silva also coming off the bench, and he has to play better than what he did this past year.
Jules, you've been patient. It's worth the wait, though, the intriguingly named Pythagoras with this question for you. Who has a bigger point to prove in the new season, Antoine Griezmann or Eden Hazard?
That's a very good question from our friend Pythagoras. I mean, the easy answer is both, obviously, because Hazard, having missed pretty much all of the season because of injuries, I think would want to do more, would want to show more. Although in the end, he won La Liga and had an impact in it towards the end after the restart. But you would still expect him to be far more hungry when he comes back. When the season starts in September, that hopefully with no injuries, he will fit so well in that system, in the formation, and he can have a bit more of that relationship that we saw between him and Benzema that already looked really interesting for the games they played towards the end of the season. So that's on the Real Madrid side of things. For Barcelona, of course, Griezmann wants to have a much better season. The problem is, where is he going to play and who will he play with? Whether Messi leaves or not, you still need to play him in his best position, which is what Koeman said, for him to be able to express himself fully. And right now, I don't see how they can play him as a second striker, you know, like almost a 9.5, if you want, behind someone else who would help him get the best out of himself, because they don't have a Giroud or they don't have a Diego Costa, that type of player. So that might come. But I'm a bit more worried about Griezmann's season than Hazard. If Hazard can stay fit, I think he will come in back into the team and have a really, really strong season. For Griezmann, it still depends on a lot of other things around him as well.
All right, one for all of you. What would the crew members do if you were in the Gareth Bale situation with massive wages and a comfortable life in Madrid, but without being able to play much? Would they leave?
Are you asking Stevie?
Or
continue? Are you really asking Stevie what he would do playing golf every day and earning 16 million a year?
Yeah, I was kind of predicting what Stevie's
was. Is that what you're asking Stevie? I know the answer that Stevie would give.
Is that a pipe?
Whoops.
Are you smoking a pipe?
Yeah.
That's a pipe, yeah. Hold on, I'm just getting it going.
So Steve.
Gareth, you want a game? No, you're all right.
Who smoked a pipe?
So Stevie's banner would be pipe.
Come to love.
Pipe golf. Wales, Madrid, yeah?
Gareth, hey, don't shout in my backswing. What is it? What is it, Zinedine? I'm on the ninth. I'll be finished in about an hour and a half. Yeah.
Ali, different perspective? Or do you just collect those checks and see Stevie out on the golf course?
Well, I'll see Stevie out on the golf course regardless. He's going to live there anyway. I mean, whatever happened to competitive spirit, to professional pride, all the things that you've, the things that brought you to this level in your career. I suppose at some point, if you love the game and you're really passionate about it, you want to play. And I'm not about to tell Gareth Bale to take a pay cut. I'm not about to tell Gareth Bale to that contract that you earned because of the way that you played and up until this point, don't worry about it. Just leave that money behind. I wouldn't go as far as to say that, but there's something about playing. This is why we play the game, because we love it, because we enjoy it, we like the competition. But maybe for Gareth Bale, the reality is different. If it were me, I would like to be on the field.
Right, I'll push it on, Jules. We got one from Zahavi for you. Would PSG have won the Champions League with Edison Cavani?
Oh, you're breaking my heart bringing it back to that final. I mean, I thought that game had never happened anyway. I thought, you know, I don't know who won the Champions League this year. I don't really care.
Not PSG.
thank you, Ali. I know you're a friend.
Yeah, no problem.
I knew you were a friend. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he would have been on the pitch, could have missed some chances. Maybe he would have scored. But maybe he would have never got the chances that Mbappe and Neymar got because of where they were playing. They would have played in a different position as Cavani started. It's too hard. I don't know. It would have helped, I guess. Maybe if he'd been there through the whole final eight, and maybe he would have entered a rotation and some player could have been a bit rested. I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's hard to say. I guess it's always better to have kept him and Meunier, for example, and the youngster ones like Kwasi, for example, to be part of that. That would have helped maybe in terms of the spirit of the squad, etc. But I don't know if that would have changed anything.
We will never know, will we, Jules?
Adrian, the real question for me is, never mind PSG and never mind Cavani, what is going on behind Stevie's left shoulder? Is that a pig kicking a soccer ball? Is that what's going on? That's what I want.
Let's not get into left and right with Stevie again. This could take us down. Actually, it is over your left shoulder, Stevie. Now I see it. The pig and the soccer ball. Next to the clock. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah, what is that? That's eagle-eyed, Ali. I didn't even spot that.
That's exactly what he said it was. It's a pig kick in a football.
It's a pig kick in a soccer ball.
A soccer ball.
Is there any sort of story behind it? How it ended up on your shelf? No idea.
I didn't even know it was there.
No idea.
Until Ali told me.
All right. Matthias asks, well, it's a long question, so bear with this. What's Leroy Sané's best position and where is he probably going to play at Bayern? At City, he seemed to mainly provide width as a left winger, but since Bayern already have Alfonso Davies on that flank, wouldn't they stand in each other's way? Ali, you want to take that?
Sure. Well, I know this much. The newcomer is Sané. So he's the one that has to prove his value to the team and his best position on the field. Whereas Alfonso Davies, you already know what he can give you, and you're not changing the position of that guy, because he quickly became one of the most dangerous players coming out of the back for Bayern Munich. Not only did we see it in Champions League, but we saw it in the second half of the season as well in the Bundesliga. So there's no moving Alfonso Davies. Leroy Sané is going to have to be the one that kind of changes his game and evolves his game into something different, so that you open up that space for Alfonso Davies and allow him the freedom to go forward.
You guys, any thoughts on this? Want to weigh in?
Don't you think? Well, I mean, in the Champions League, just recently, you had Perisic, and you had Kingsley Coman in front of Davies, so does he go ahead of those two? Because Davies definitely plays left back. Alaba, I'm 100% will stay at centre back. So it's probably a fight between the three of them who plays on the left hand side.
Jules?
So I would have thought that Sané would start over the two of them.
Jules, you think he's straight in that starting lineup?
I mean, Perisic would go back to Inter Milan anyway, so it would really be between Coman and Sané. I think Coman has had a few injuries, but he scored a very important goal in the Champions League final, like, against someone I can't remember who, but that was obviously a very important goal for Bayern Munich. I think he's been there a few years. And like Ali said, Sané will arrive and will have to show that he's better than Coman to start. However, you could also think that from Hansi Flick's point of view and Bayern Munich, you spend that money on Sané is to play him regularly and have a front three of Gnabry, Lewandowski and Sané. So you could also see that happen very easily.
Right. Finally, we reached the end. Marathon extra time session. Yusuf with the final question for Jules. What do you think of a Saliba-Gabriel partnership in Arsenal's central defence next season with Tierney and Bellerin and Cedric and Luis Marie? Could that be a solid back line, do you think, with your Arsenal?
A lot of names.
I think Arsenal fans should be excited, and especially the potential centre-back partnership of Gabriel and Saliba. They're very young, 19 and 22, but I think they've showed in France certainly, and if they can adapt both of them to the Premier League quickly, they are very solid, they complement each other really well. One is right-footed, one is left-footed, but also in the way they play and what they're very good at. One a bit more with the ball, the other one is so good in the air, so strong in his challenges on, you know, physicality. And I think the idea would be from Arteta to start with a back three and have them playing in the more secure back three or five, and then maybe move to a back four and the two together. And if they do well, I think you've got a very strong partnership then for many years to come. So I think Arsenal should be very excited by Gabriel and Saliba.
Mm. All right, excellent stuff, guys. You really showed your stamina today, or stamina. Is it stamina or stamina?
Your stamina?
Stamina?
Yes.
Yeah, we hung in there.
That thing. Tomorrow we'll solve the mystery of the pig and the soccer ball and just how did it get onto Stevie's shelf. Maybe we won't. Maybe that will remain unsolved. The next edition of ESPN FC. I hope you can join us for that.